Okay, the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, first Aliyah of Parshas Kisisa, besides for the counting of the Bnei Yisrael, it's also our first exposure, and the Sheman HaMishcha, etc. It's our first exposure to the relationship which the Pasuk establishes between the building of the Mishkan and Shabbos. Yedaber Hashem el Moshe leimor v'atah daber el bnei Yisrael leimor aches shavsoisai tishmeru but my Shabbos you shall keep. Ki oisi beini uveinechem l'dayreisechem, because it is signed between me and you for the generations l'das, so you can know ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. And the pasuk goes on to expand upon the instruction of Shabbos, concluding with the psukim, very familiar psukim, v'shamu v'nei Yisrael es ha-shabbos l'asaisas ha-shabbos l'dayreisam v'risaylam. They should observe the Shabbos, to make the Shabbos for their generations as a bris olam, ois hila olam, always speaking about it as a eternal covenant. The relationship between Shabbos and Melechus HaMishkan, Rashi speaks about here, as he speaks about as well in Vayakil when it comes up again. Even though I've instructed you to tell them about building the Mishkan, don't take Shabbos lightly to push it aside because of that task, because of that work, but rather observe the Shabbos. Binyan HaMishkan, building the Mishkan, does not push aside the observance of Shabbos. It says it here, following the instruction of Melechus HaMishkan, says it in Vayakel, preceding the discussion of Melechus HaMishkan. In both cases, for whatever reason, before, after, we use it to emphasize this idea that despite the mandate to build the Mishkan, the observance of Shabbos must be maintained. Relationship between these two ideas. Besides for the fact, this explicit connection which Rashi draws here, Chazal draw here, that we're telling you to keep Shabbos even as you're building the Mishkan, there's of course another significant association between Shabbos and the building of the Mishkan. And what's that? What is Melechus Shabbos? What is the work of Shabbos? Work, melacha, is a very vague term. How do we come to define it? So as you know, we define 39 melachas, 39 categories of work. And where are these 39 categories derived from? They are hachtahave b'mishkan chashiva. The melachas which were done in the Mishkan, which were significant categories of work in the construction of the Mishkan, those become the categories of work which we understand are forbidden on Shabbos. So that's another aspect of the connection, of the relationship between Shabbos and Melechus HaMishkan. So I would like to explore this relationship with you between the two of them, between these two things. And you know that many have spoken about the fact that in the world we speak about Olam Shana Nefesh. We speak about the world as a place, we speak about Shana as a cycle of time and Nefesh, and we speak about the souls, the people within the world. And each one has its Migdash, each one has its sacred component. Right? In the perfect sense, we speak about the holiest place is the Holy of Holies, the holiest time is Yom Kippur, and the holiest person is the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol goes into the Holy of Holies only on Yom Kippur. Now that's like the where all of it sort of converges together, the perfect place of all that. But in a general sense, we also speak about the fact that there's a Migdash B'Mokayim and a Migdash B'Zman. There's a sanctuary in time as there is a sanctuary in place. Sanctuary in place is this Mishkan, ultimately what will be the Migdash, and the sanctuary in time would be the Shabbos. And so the Torah is instructing us about both of them. Even as it's instructing us about the Migdash, it's also instructing us about the Shabbos. An idea which is out there, I'm sure, familiar to many of you, that somehow brings these two things together. But I would like to try to go a little bit deeper to be able to understand this a little bit better. In the preceding paragraph to the instruction about Shabbos here in Parshas Kisisa, we have Re'ei Karasi B'Shem, Hashem says to Moshe, Re'ei Karasi B'Shem B'Tzalel Ben Uri Ben Hur L'Mata Yehuda. Behold, I have declared, I have called by name, I have designated, I have identified Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Yehuda. And I filled him with Ruach Elohim, with the Spirit of God, with Chachma, Tfuna, Vadas, with Chol Malacha, with all kinds of wisdom, to do all the different kinds of work that need to be done, all the crafts of gold, silver, copper, fabrics for the building of the Mishkan, everything that needs to be done. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos famously speaks about this designation. Re'ei Karasi v'shem Betzalel. Amar Rav Yitzchak Elim Kain, Ein Mamidim Parnasal Atzibur Elim Kain Imlachim Atzibur. You don't appoint a leader over the community unless you check with them. Shenemar, as it says, Ru'u Kara Hashem b'shem Betzalel. It says not in this pasuk, but later in Parshas Vayakel, behold, Hashem is called by the name of Betzalel. Amar Lai HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Maisha, Maisha, Hagun Alecha Betzalel. Hashem said to Maisha, is Betzalel okay with you? Amar Lai Rebbeinu Shalom, Im Lefanecha Hagun Lefanei Lai Kol Shekein. If he's good for you, then he's good for me. Amar Lai Afal Pikein Lecha Mar Lahem. Go check with the Jewish people. So he went to the Jewish people. Betzalel okay with you? They said, if it's good for Hashem and it's good for you, of course he's good for us. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yenisa. Betzalel Al Shem Chachmasa Nikra. Betzalel's name was chosen because of his wisdom. When Hashem told Moshe, go make me the Mishkan, the Arayin and the Kalim, which is the order, by the way, which we have here in Parshas Kisisa, right here. I told you to make the Mishkan and the Arayin, right? That's what the Pasuk says. Moshe went and turned it around, as he did in Parshas Kisisa, to Parshas Truma, and he said, do the Arayin and then the Kalim and then the Mishkan. Amar le Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Tzal said, Moshe, min hogo shalaylo madabonu bein bayis v'achakach machnes esaych lekelim. Usually a person builds a house and then puts in the kelim. And you are telling me to make the orain and the kelim and the mishkan, to make the furnishings before the building. So where would I put the kelim? So maybe Hashem told it to you really the other way around. So Moshe said, wow, you must have been there, but Tzal came in the shadow of Hashem. So that's one element of the wisdom that we speak about here. The Tzalel understood the way the world works, and so as a result of his need to do the Mishkan the way the world worked, he understood that the Mishkan had to be constructed the same way. Now in Mefarshim about of this Agada, they all point out that this, you know, it sounds like a practical problem. You know, I'm going to make all this furnishing, where am I going to put it? Right? So that's not a profound question, that's a very simple question. And if I would tell you, you know what, let's go, we're going to go get a couch, we're going to go get a dining room table, and then we're going to go get bricks and we're going to build a house. You'll say to me, that's ridiculous, right? Where are we going to put it? We're going to go buy it, we're going to put it in storage. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out. So what's the profound question? On top of that, you know that when they made the Mishkan, they were constantly moving it around. They didn't need it. The building was the only place that would be kept. In fact, it came with Big Day Straw, that came with slip covers for travel. Parshim asked these questions. So, obviously, when Bezalel raised this objection, it wasn't simply a technical, practical thing. The objection was, Min Hagei Shel Olam, this is the way you build things in the world. And therefore, even though you can get around it, and you have ways of doing this without really having a technical problem, but we should be building the Mishkan in the way of the world. Kederech Min Hagei Shel Olam. That was Bezalel's point. And some would say, and we've discussed sometimes, that the idea is because, given that the whole purpose of the Mishkan is to give Hashem a residence down here, so of course it should be done in the way that things are done down here. If you're doing it to bring Hashem into the regular world, then it should be done in the manner that things are done in the regular world. That's one aspect of this. But let's look one step further what the Gemara says about Bezalel. Bezalel knew how to put together the letters which were used to create the heaven and earth. Hashem's word is what created the world. Some connection, collection of words, of letters uttered by Hashem created the world. Whatever the choices of letters of words were. And Bezalel knew how to put together those same letters, to construct those same words through which to create the world. Says the Gemara, because as it says here, Vayimalach Yisrael Echalakim B'chachma V'svana V'das. Chsiv Hasam, it speaks about the Tzal being filled with these kinds of wisdom, and when it comes to creation of the world, it says, Hashem B'chachma Yisrael Echalakim B'chachma V'tfuna V'data Temis Nifku. It uses all these same terms of wisdom to describe how Hashem created the world. So therefore, the Tzal was tapping in to that same wisdom that Hashem used to create the world. And that's what was used to create the Mishkan. The same wisdom which was used to create the world was used to create the Mishkan. What's being said here? You understand that when you put these two passages of the Gemara together, you understand that, of course, in that context, the Mishkan would be built according to Minhagei Shalelam, according to the way the world works. Because Bezalel was tapping into the same power that created the world to create the Mishkan. So you're not going to create the Mishkan at odds with, anomalous to the world. It has to fit within the world. Okay, so again, it's not just this idea of Hashem wanted to have a residence down here, but the construction of the Mishkan is using the same power as the construction of the world. And indeed, Ramban wrote about this, alludes to it in the beginning of Parshas Truma, where he speaks about the building of the Mishkan and the purpose involved in the building of the Mishkan. Not finding the exact phrase here. Ramban also alludes to this idea that we have here of the Mishkan being something of a demus. I've shared with some of you before, you know, numerous times, that we find even this idea expressed in the Gemara, hinted to in the Gemara, in a nice way, where the Gemara says that the krosim, when they constructed the roof of the Mishkan, so it came with curtains that extended over the whole top of the building. And the curtains came in two sections of five panels each that were sewn together. And the two sections were linked together by loops and hooks. There were loops on the end of each section, of the major sections. And then there were gold hooks, S hooks, that went to connect the loops, to connect the two parts. And the loops were thick blue loops. And the hooks were gold. And the Gemara says, V'nirim krosim v'lulois k'chachavim b'rakia. The way the hooks appeared in those blue loops, right? Imagine a thick blue wool loop, and the hook is, you know, sort of peeking out. And it says it peered out like the stars in the sky. If you looked up, you saw twinkle, twinkle, little hook, right? It appeared like the stars in the sky. And the idea, it's not just, okay, it's cute, you know, they looked up and there they saw the twinkling gold. But the Mishkan was Shomayim Voretz, it was heaven and earth. And that was the heavens. That was the heavens. And they saw that from down here, from the earth. So what do we have here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the entire world. Created the entire world, Shomayim Voretz. But to some degree, as we look at it, as Shlomo HaMelech said when he spoke about the building of the Mikdash, Hine Hashemayim Shmei Hashemayim Leichal Kalucha. We speak about Hashem Meloichal Aretz Kevayda. Hashem's presence fills the entire world, everything. But on the other hand, you speak about Vasili Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Seichem. You'll make me a Mikdash, and I'm going to dwell in your midst. The Mikdash becomes the Ma'on Lashchina, the place of residence for Hashem. So if the whole world was created as something of a residence of Hashem, and then on some level it gets narrowed down to the Mikdash, that's going to be where the presence of Hashem is localized. The Mikdash has to be a distillation of Shamayim V'aretz. It has to be the essence of Shamayim V'aretz. And so, every bit of creativity that was used to create the heaven and the earth had to be known and used and applied to creation of this little micro earth, this micro universe of the Mishkan. Bezalel had to know how those letters and words would be put together to create Shamayim Va'aretz, to create this smaller version of Shamayim Va'aretz, of heaven and earth, that was going to be the Mishkan, the place of real residence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down here. That's how those two had to connect. And in another sense, that's Shabbos and the Mishkan. Because what's Shabbos? Shabbos is the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested from creation of heaven and earth. So he says, so tell me something. What, when we keep the Shabbos, what do we do? How do we observe the Shabbos? Okay, so it's not just, okay, we keep the Shabbos and we stop even from building the Mishkan. But what do we have to rest from? We have to rest from our activities, just like Hashem rested from His. What are our activities that reflect Hashem's? Well, Hashem created the heaven and the earth, and we created the Mishkan as a micro version of heaven and earth. And because the Mishkan has to contain everything that went into Shamayim V'aretz, which is why Bezalel had to know everything that went into creating Shamayim V'aretz to create the Mishkan. So that's in the oral activities of the letters, but also in the physical activities. Everything to create heaven and earth is involved in creating the Mishkan. And therefore, when we want to do a day of rest from creation like Hashem's, we look at what we did in the Mishkan, and that's what we suspend. L'shem Hashem. Okay, is that clear? You understand what I'm saying? All creation in the world is represented in human activity in the building of this Mishkan, which is supposed to be something of the building of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, our version, the one which is done through our hands. Bezalel, on a mystical level, as well as implementation on a practical level. He knew the letters, and he also knew all the chachmas that were involved in actually making the world come to pass. So, that's one idea, one aspect of this relationship. Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiyah b'dvarei. Which makes us understand how it is that we speak about Shabbos and we speak about the Mikdash and we learn one from the other. Because in a sense, yes, this is our world. This becomes our world. Narrowed down, yes. But it's the world about which the creation was. It's the world which is the purpose for the creation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have a place here. And so building the Mishkan and the culmination of the building of the Mishkan is like building the world and the culmination of the world. And even if you haven't finished it yet, we don't build the Mishkan in 6 days. So we can just say on the seventh day, we rest, we finish. But in a sense, that's what we're doing. We're modeling Hashem's creation. We also have to do the thing of the seventh day rest. And we see that, therefore, as the Mishkan, the place of meeting Hashem, the place of open presence of Hashem, is what we want the whole world to be. And when Chazal use that grandiose language and they say that ultimately when Mashiach will come and the Gula will come, the boundaries of the Mikdash will expand well beyond their current boundaries, it's because of this idea of actually trying to bring it back to the way it was supposed to be, the way it ought to be, with Hashem's presence filling the world itself. But I want to go one step further. There's an emphasis over and over again when we speak about Shabbos, especially in our parsha, especially in Vayakhel, L'day Reisechem, B'chomesh Reisechem. And this is an important aspect to delineate and to see a difference, a real difference, between these two sanctuaries, the sanctuary of the Mikdash and the sanctuary of Shabbos. The Mikdash is number one, not b'chol mesh v'aisechem. It's not wherever you are. By definition, the Mikdash is a chosen, specific place. Hamokam asher yivchar Hashem. So it's the Mishkan as the Jewish people traveled, and it becomes the Mikdash in Yerushalayim when the Jewish people come to rest. Elanucha v'elanucha. One specific place, it's not every place. You can't build a Mikdash every place. When there is a Mikdash in that one place, no offerings could even be brought any place else. It's not B'chol Mesh V'aisechem. And it's also not the Deiraisechem. It's also not for the generations. Here we are. Right? We have a few generations in here in this room. And none of us has ever seen the Mikdash yet. There are generations, there are 2,000 years since we've seen a Beis HaMikdash. Is the Beis HaMikdash the Deiraisechem? So we had in the previous parsha, the Chain Tasu, right? Bechol Asher Anim Ha'Yisrael Taimim Eschav Neisam Eshkan Veistav Yisrael Kelo V'Chein Tazu L'Dairas. This is what you should do in the future for the generations. What does that mean? If there will come a time in a future generation where you're going to have to rebuild, when it came time to build the first Beis HaMikdash, you should follow the same general plans and proportions that are used here. But again, that's another dar, another time. But there were gaps, huge gaps in our history, including our very recent history, where there was no Mikdash. Was there ever a time that there wasn't Shabbos? Shabbos was always there. Shabbos has always been part and parcel. It's L'day Reisechem, and it's B'chol Mosh Reisechem. It's for all time, and it's for all places. It's a big difference, big differences between Mikdash and Shabbos. So, as we have the instruction about Shabbos, and some say this, it's written, the original, that's part of the Pasuk's emphasis. Why do we say, oh, the Mikdash isn't there for Shabbos? The Mikdash doesn't push aside Shabbos. Because Shabbos is steady. Shabbos is always going to be there. The Mikdash comes, the Mikdash goes. That's the way it is. That's the way it's been. But Shabbos is always there. So what are you going to do? You're going to push aside Shabbos for the Mikdash? The Mikdash won't be here sometime. Shabbos will always be here. Make sure you keep the Shabbos strong, sacred. Mikdash doesn't push aside Shabbos. Because Shabbos is the Derei Seichem. Shabbos is wherever you are, whenever. But there's something else here. And that something else is the echoes of what we talked about in the contrast between the mitzvah of building the Mikdash, building the Mishkan, and what may have been what we discussed, Plan A. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'seichem. They will build for me a Mikdash and I will dwell in their midst. Versus what it says at the end of Parshas Yisra, where Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu after Mamre Har Sinai, and he told him about the fact that everywhere they are, they can build a mizbeach to serve Hashem. And b'chol hamakom asher azkir shmi avo yelech b'ro. Wherever my name is mentioned, wherever my name is recalled, or I recall my name, whatever, however you translate that verse, I will come to you, and be'rachticha, and I will bless you. And that pasuk, that whole series of psukim, is about, number one, the service of Hashem without a mikdash, without a resonance for Hashem. And in fact, it speaks about going beyond any resonance. Any place, every place. B'chol amokim, wherever my name is mentioned. Wherever my name is mentioned. Ove yelech ve'rachticha, I will come to you and bless. In a certain sense, that abstraction, without Hashem having any form, no image that you didn't see at Har Sinai, but it's just any place and every place, b'chol hamokim asher azkir shmi avo yelech ve'rachticha, that is represented by Kedusha Shabbos. Likras Shabbos l'chuven elcha kihi mekar habracha. Bracha is very much associated with Shabbos. The bracha of chol hamokim asher azkir shmi. Wherever my name is mentioned, there's even a Masoret tradition, people don't say Shabbos in an unclean place. And if you bump into somebody, you're washing your hands, place after using facilities, you don't say good Shabbos. In the bathroom, you don't say Shabbos. Yontif? Yontif, don't say good Yontif? Yontif is not a name of Hashem, it's nothing that has to be worried about there. But Shabbos, there's such a tradition. Shabbos is the name of Hashem. You treat it with holiness. So again, take it or leave it. Right? There's something about Shabbos which allows for the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not limited to any specific place. and likewise, therefore, not limited to any specific time where this would happen. It's b'chol hamokam. B'chol hamokam asher askeshmi. Any place where my name is mentioned, all the time. That contrast is to some degree what the pasuk is bringing out here. With all the description, all the discussion about the creation of the Mishkan and of the Mikdash, everything which Bezalel is charged with, the Chachma, Tfuna Vadas, to build, Litzarif, the Oisius, Litzarif and Briyas Shamayim Va'aretz, which he then goes and applies to building of the Mikdash. But on the other hand, when it comes to Shabbos, we're still back at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation of the entirety of Shemayim V'aretz. It's going to be at any place and at any time. Let me try to just explain this, to go a little bit further in trying to understand this. You see, Shabbos, the instruction about Shabbos that we have here, is not only the culmination of the instruction about the Mishkan, it's also the last statement that we have before the beginning of the story of Yigal itself. We go to the beginning of the story of the golden calf. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, a series of Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos, in the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah lists a whole series of asaros, of tens. There are ten statements that Hashem created the world with. Then there were ten generations from Adam till Noach, and another ten from Noach till Avram. Avram Avinu had ten challenges that he faced, and he surpassed them, passed them all with flying colors. And there were ten miracles which happened to the Jewish people of Mitzrayim. Let's see. Avram Avinu passed ten Nisyonos. He affirmed Hashem ten times, overcoming challenges that he could only have done because of an affirmation of his belief and the presence of Hashem. And as a result of that, Hashem ten times demonstrated his power within the world. He made ten statements of his own existence through the ten makas. Asar Nisyonos Nisu Aviseinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Midbar. But then, the other direction. We posed 10 challenges to Hashem in the Midbar, in the desert. 10 times we said, will Hashem do this? Is Hashem doing this good thing for us? 10 challenges to Hashem, which in a sense were not 10 affirmations of Hashem, but 10 rejections, 10 repudiations of Hashem. And then what happened? Asar nisim nasu laviseinu beis hamikdash. There were 10 miracles which happened to our forefathers in this. That doesn't follow. If Avraham Avinu passed 10 Nisyonos, and as a result of those great actions, we had 10 miracles in Mitzrayim and 10 at the Yom Suf, then when we repudiated Hashem 10 times, what should we have had? Should have had 10 klep, 10 punishments, whatever it is, which we did have punishments. Hashem didn't let the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael until the next generation. But then the next Mishnah follows with 10 miracles which happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Seems to be a reward for poor behavior. And what we'd like to explain is like this. That the 10 miracles which happened in the Beis HaMikdash were wonderful things, but one of the major issues there were that they happened in the Beis HaMikdash. That there was a narrowing of the theater within which Hashem's presence would be visible. Yes, there would be 10 nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. But what would happen outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Nothing. It would be a world of teva, of nature. And you know that's not the way it was supposed to be. Had the Jewish people not challenged Hashem 10 times in the Midbar, so then, who would have led them into Eretz Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu. And as Chazal say, they wouldn't have needed a weapon. They wouldn't have needed a single pistol or slingshot. It would have been Hashem Yilochem Lochem. Hashem would have fought for you. Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem. Ad Yavar Amzuchanisa. Like the miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf would have continued as we passed over the Yarden, just like as we passed over the Yamsuf. and the first time, and the second time, in the days of Yeshua, in the days of Ezra. But instead, what happened? What happened was that through our nesionos, we said, Hashem's presence in our life so visibly, proficiently, so ubiquitously, everywhere, we can't take it. And so what happened was, we had to fight. And the world became a natural world, again, so to speak, even around the Jewish people, without the presence of Hashem clear and strong and manifest. And so, you want to see Hashem, where do you go? You go to the Hashem Museum. You go to Hashem's house, to the residence of Hashem. Ayeh mekayim kevedai. Find the place. Where is it? The place where Hashem's presence resides. And that was the Mikdash. If you read the Mishnah, you say, 10 miracles in the Mikdash because we did 10 Nisyonos? And the answer is yes. 10 miracles in the Mikdash. In a little tiny place called the Mikdash. You know, it's like saying, the Jewish people served the Egel, and what happened? Hashem sanctified the Levium. I don't understand. Right? Why did Hashem sanctify the Levium? Because the Jewish people served the Egel. And the answer is because before the Jewish people served the Egel, everybody would have been sacred. Every family would have had a Bechor that was sacred. The presence of Hashem would have been every place, in every house, in a certain sense. But then we did the Egel, and Hashem said, forget it, I'm taking it away from you, and I'm sanctifying the Levium. Sanctifying the Levium isn't a step up for the Jewish people. It's a narrowing, it's a containment, it's making it a specific place. From a place of where the whole world is filled with the presence of Hashem, comes narrowed down to something very specific, to some place very specific, and sometimes to nefesh, to specific people, even more specific than before. That's all. It's the way the world has worked since Bereshis. Bereshis is the story of the world, and Noach is the story of the world, but then no, Asara Dairis, they were machisim uboim. They angered Hashem. So what did Avram do? He came and he took the reward of them all. Whatever would have been for a whole wide world now became the provenance of one specific family of Avram and his descendants. There it goes from being everywhere to being narrowed down. Bezalel, who was in charge of addressing this reality of, well, it's not going to be everywhere. So we have to redefine the space of Kedusha in the world. But Salah was to build that space. He had to know what went into Shemayim Baretz so that he could know how to build that in here. But in a certain sense, without Bezalel, without the Mikdash, there's a day when Bezalel is off of work. Shabbos, Bezalel is off of work. Shemayim v'oretz, which were created in 6 days on the seventh day of Shabbos, is the day when that becomes indeed Vayivorech Elokim Yaseir Mashi Vayikadesh Yaseir. That's the day of Neshama Yaseir. That's the day when Hashem's presence really comes into the world. And it's supposed to come into the world every place. Everywhere. Not limited. Shabbos is the day of Bechol Hamokoyim Asher Asir Eshni Avayavecha V'Yachaya. So building of the Mikdash stops. And the building of the Olam of Shana, of time, the Mikdash, which is not limited to any space, finds its expression there in Shabbos. It's no longer in that sense narrowed. Chazal say this expression, Bachalticha Nachlas Yaakov. It says, Rosh Shabbos, right? So I will give you, when you are Ma'aneg is HaShabbos, when you celebrate the Shabbos with Oineg, with pleasure, what you're supposed to. So a person who does that Karoi, he say he's Zeicha, he merits a portion of Nachla, B'li Mitzar, without boundaries. Why? Right? We paraphrase this in the Zmiris of Shabbos, in the Mayadidus, which some people sing on Friday night. Nachlas Yaakov Yirash B'li Mitzar Nachla. He'll get the portion of Yaakov
B'li mitzarim, without limits, the nachla, the portion. What's that mean, b'li mitzarim nachla? So the Gemara says, not like Avraham Avinu was told, I'm going to give you this land there, it's Israel. Or Yitzchak, who said, I'll give you the land that I promised to Avram. But rather Yaakov. Yaakov, what did Hashem tell him? Yaakov was leaving Eretz Yisrael. Avram went to Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak stayed in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael. And when he left Eretz Yisrael, what did Hashem say to him? Ufaratza yamav akeimav itzafaynav anegba. You will expand in all four directions, everywhere. What does that mean? You know no limits. You know no parameters. No boundaries. That's Nachas Yaakov. That's the portion of Yaakov. Yaakov will be able to somehow go beyond any boundaries that we say. So, in other words, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, which are normally you would say Eretz HaKadosh, limited to that, Yaakov doesn't know from that. He's able to go beyond Ufarat Sayyam of Akedna. That's the lot of the person of Anagat HaShabbos, who celebrates the Shabbos. Because that's the kunz of Shabbos. It's B'chol Moshvay Seichem. It's the Dereseichem. It's not limited to a specific generation. It's not limited to a specific Mokhem Asher Yivcha Hashem. It's every place. It's B'chol HaMokhem Asher Asker Hashmi. It's the primary Ufaratza. The primary breaking through of boundaries and limitations and saying, no, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Here, somehow, you're supposed to be able to sense the pervasive presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is supposed to bring it in that sense, to everything. To everything. Oh, not to malacha. Not to, secular activity. It suspends. You're not building the world in the physical sense. It's the building of Shabbos. But that's how this finds its way here. And somehow it's to restore the original Bria. It's to remember the seventh day of creation when Hashem created the whole world to be His place. The whole world to be the abode for HaKadosh Baruch. And somehow in that, it's not that we're distilling what HaKadosh Baruch originally created the world to be, but we're going back to the original, expansive plan of how HaKadosh Baruch indeed meant it to be. Now, it's not really true to the actual fullest sense, you might say. You'll be right. Why? Because Shabbos is very limited. While it's not limited to a generation, it's not limited to a location, but it's limited to a people. Not only is it, as our Pasuk says in this week's Parsha, it's between me and the Jewish people as a sign for all times, but it's also the case that Akum Shoshavas Chayav Misa. A non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Ben Noach Shoshavas, we learn it, that it says to Noach after the Mabul, Tayitz V'chayav Kayav V'chayim, etc. Yoyim V'layla Lo Yishvaisu. They can't have the Shabbos. They can't rest. If they designate for themselves any day as Shabbos, any day of rest, Chayav Misa, it can't be theirs. It can't be theirs. How do we deal with that? How do we understand it and see it? If Shabbos is the plan A, so to speak, of the world, if it's B'chol HaMokhem Asher Aski Yashmi Avayalecha Be'erachticha, and remember, B'chol HaMokhem Asher Aski Yashmi, when Hashem said it, He said that to whom? He said that to Klal Yisrael. He didn't say this to anybody. It was the instruction to the Jewish people after Har Sinai, something which took that form after, to a great sense, the selection of the Bnei Yisrael, the selection of the Jewish people. So I just want to share with you a garin, a kernel of a thought, a very significant thought, I think, which Rav Tzadok says. He says as follows. We have a rule. On Shabbos, the rule which is exhibited by the following nuance in our tefillas. On Shabbos, we make Kiddush, we daven, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctifies the Shabbos. On Yom Tov, what do we say? Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctified Yisrael, the Jewish people, v'Hazmanim, and the Yom Tov. Why? Because Shabbos Bereshis is Kaviyah v'Kaimah. Hashem defined the first day of the week, and the second, and the third, and the seventh. From then on, every seventh day is Shabbos. Never has that process, never has that cycle been interrupted. You don't make it Shabbos. Okay, yes, you might decide, I'm going to be Meister, I'm going to add an hour to Shabbos. But Shabbos fundamentally is the seventh day. It's not up to you. Hashem is Mekadesh the Shabbos, and it will always be that way. How about Yom Tov? Yom Tov's not that way. Yom Tov's not automatic. In order for it to be Yom Tov, you first have to have it be Rosh Chodesh. You declare Rosh Chodesh, okay, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So then, 14 days later, is Kesvav Nisan, the first day of Tov. If you're not Mekadesh Rosh Chodesh, so then, you don't have the Yom Tov in place. You don't have the Yom Tov in place. It's first, you have to declare Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh isn't just automatic when the moon appears. It requires the Bezdin to declare it. So therefore, Hashem has to be Mekadesh Yisrael. Hashem has to sanctify the Jewish people. And then the Jewish people are Mekadesh Dizmanim. Mekadesh Yisrael, and the Yisrael are Mekadesh Dizmanim. But it doesn't happen by itself. And so, for instance, when Shabbos is Yom Tov, what do we say? We don't say Mekadesh Yisrael, and then let's put Shabbos and Yom Tov together, which would be natural. No. You say Mekadesh HaShabbos, because Hashem made the Shabbos holy, and Hashem is Mekadesh Yisrael, and Yisrael is Mekadesh Tzman. Right? Straightforward? Good. Says Rav Tzadok. Chazal famously say that Yisrael is the Benzug of Shabbos. Each day of the week had a pair. Sunday had Monday, and Tuesday had Wednesday, and Thursday had Friday. Shabbos says, what about me? I have no partner. Hashem said, don't feel bad. Your partner is Shabbos. What's the partnership between Shabbos and Yisrael? Says Rav Tzadok. Shabbos is Kviyah v'Kaimah. Hashem declared Shabbos the seventh day, and it's always going to be, every seventh day is going to be Shabbos. Nothing can happen to change that anymore. You can't vote, you don't have to declare. It is Shabbos, it is what it is. Hashem was also Mekadesh Yisrael. The same way he was Mekadesh Shabbos, he was Mekadesh Yisrael. And Yisrael is a Kedusha which is permanent. Forever. Unchangeable. Unchangeable. Zmanin! That's something which the Jewish people create. That's changeable. They can declare Rosh Chodesh, they cannot declare Rosh Chodesh, they can make it, they can break it. It can happen, up and down. Kedushas Yisrael is like Kedushas Shabbos. They're both fixed forever. And so says Rav Tzadok, that's why Shabbos and Yisrael are benzug. That's why they're a pair. Because both of them have been immutably sanctified by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we create comes and goes. The Zmanim we create. You know what else we create? The Mikdash. The Mikdash is what we create. Rei Karasi B'Shem V'Tzalel. Bezalel will build it. Moshe Rabbeinu will supervise it. We make it. It comes and it goes. And you know how it works, right? You all remember. Maybe we'll talk about it sometime in the future. Right? How the Mishkan was built by Moshe Rabbeinu. So, even though the Mishkan was destroyed, but actually it never disappeared. Ate Shittim, they were put away. You know, the first Beis HaMikdash was built by Shlomo HaMelech. It was this strong. Second Beis HaMikdash was built by Daryavesh, was even weaker. But all of them were built by people. It was Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hamikdash. You sanctified the Jewish people, and the Jewish people made the Mikdash. You sanctified the Jewish people, and the Jewish people make Yom Tov. But the Kedusha of Yisrael is always there. And the Kedusha of Shabbos is always there. Shasar Rav Tzadok says a beautiful thing, Tzidaka. Says, you know, the Gemara has its discussions about the
destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.
Where are the Agadotas? Where are the Midrash Gemaras about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash?
They're in Maseches Gittin. Right? Now, there's no Masechta of Agadata, really, besides maybe Pirkei Avos, about, right? But there are little passages, Midrashic passages, put in a Gemara here and there. Rav Tzadik has an approach, which he says that where they happen to be put is because they fit the theme of that volume. Gittin is about the divorce, right? The divorce. So it's the Agadata about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which is basically sending the Jewish people out of their home, is found in Maseches Gittin. Okay? Fits. Except there's only one problem. In the Navi it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eize Sefer Krisus Imchem. Hashem says, I never could break up completely with the Jewish people. The Jewish people could get separated from Hashem, but they can't get completely cut off, divorced from Hashem. And so says Rav Tzadok, where in Maseches Gittin is the Agadata about the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. It's in the only perek, the only chapter in Maseches Gittin which doesn't deal with Gittin. It's in Perek HaNezakin, which is about damages. In other words, there's damage, but there's no destruction. That's what Rav Tzadok says. Right? Damage, but not destruction. Because the connection of Kol Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's unchangeable. On the fundamental, basic level, it's unchangeable. It's always there. Mekadesh Yisrael, like Mekadesh Shabbos. Shabbos can't change. Yisrael can't change. Mikdash can change. Man-made. Zmanim can change. They are man-made. Shabbos doesn't change, but Yisrael doesn't change. L'dayrei Seichem. B'chol Meshvei Seichem. In that sense, so he said, it's not every place. It's only with Yisrael that this applies. That's right. That's right. It's only with Yisrael. With Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu's sanctification of the Jewish people is such that with us, with the Bnei Yisrael, there will always be this element of B'chol HaMakayim, of Avayelecho Ve'erachticha, of connection, of the sanctity that's Yisrael's and that's Yisrael's forever. Of course, Kedusha de Memela, what happens to us by itself, that's one level. We can create one which is beyond that, which is more visible, which is more tangible. The Kedusha of Zmanim, the Kedusha of the Mikdash, what we will build, it's true. Hashem wants us to build the Mikdash. He wants us to go beyond. But in a certain sense, the bedrock, the foundation, is that which is there and always there. And that's Kedushas Shabbos, Kedushas Yisrael. It's not dependent on any construct. You don't have to build a building. Right? It's B'chol HaMakayim Asher Azkir Ashi Avay Elech Ve'achticha. There's a reason why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the Jewish people, he put his name together with that of the Jewish people. And there's a reason, as I said before, that Chazal tell us that Shabbos itself is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the essence. This is where it lies. It lies in Yisrael. It lies in Shabbos. That we have this shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, that's what we wanted to share. Our Parsha, Bezalel has to figure out what the world is about and build it into the Mikdash. It's going to be a step beyond. It's going to be a step clearer. We have to have something where we build it up, and it's not just the hidden presence of Hashem, it's the more open presence of Hashem. But the foundation of it, the Kayach from which it all derives, is the Kedusha which Hashem put into us, which is there, as it was there from the beginning, as it remains there. Indeed, forever. Forever. L'dayrei Seichem. L'chol Meshvei Seichem. A Jew, to the greatest degree, has to remember, as far away as we are, as remote and as distant as the Golos might seem to be, Chol Yisrael's Kaviv Ekaim. It's there always.
what greater time to think about that as we come off of the Yantav of Purim. The Yantav of Purim, which is the Yantav specifically without the Beis HaMikdash. The Yantav of Asanti Kisi Be'elam. My throne is not in the Mikdash, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Nesha B'chutzlarts, the Jewish people are in Golus. Even as Esther wins, Ahasuerus says, don't talk to me about the Beit HaMikdash, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus. The Mikdash is not going to be a part of this picture. But nevertheless, what's the rule? Revach Vatzalei Yami LaYehudi. Right? The Klal Yisrael will continue to survive. That which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that's Kvi, the Kaima, that's permanent. It can't be destroyed. It can be ups and there can be downs, and there can be a Mikdash, and there can be no Mikdash. But it's like Shabbos, it's always there. And we're always there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that we should be sensitive and aware of the B'chol HaMokem Asher Asker Shmi HaVeil HaVeil, the constancy of our connection to Him, and the ability then to build on top of it, to build a Mikdash, that ultimately will expand K'nachwa B'li Mitzarim, that it will be visible and tangible anywhere and everywhere.